Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 12. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
That was a contrast up there a minute ago in verse 10 where we have salvation has come. That's a great thing. But the accuser, they're both in there. This is another contrast. Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Why? Because the devil has come down on you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. Do you feel like there's a group of people in this world that are trying to do something really quick? Well, that's just a small dose of what's coming, okay? What's happening right now in our world, it's more than sinister. It's demonic. There are people who would kill us if they could. They really would. I don't need to say any more for some of you. You know they're trying to kill you already, okay? That's what they're trying to do. They're after you. And they're unashamed. You just look around. It's crazy town. The Bible says in verse 13, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, and he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." So, when he's cast down, Israel saw them, saw the Antichrist sit down on the Holy of Holies, desecrate the temple. He was the abomination of desolation, Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you see the desolator and the abominable person sitting where he ought not, run for the hills, don't go back and get anything out of the house. He said, when you see that happening, run. And that's why the Bible says the woman ran, she fled. And the Bible says in this passage, to make a little bit more information about it, he persecuted the woman, which is Israel. And the Bible says in verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time. You see it? There's your 1260, your 42 months, your 1260 days, and your time, time, and half a time. All of that comes back again because God wants you to know that's the key to understanding the entire balance of the Scriptures in our day. The Bible says of him giving her wings like an eagle to get away, that is telling us there's going to be a lot of miracles going on to make her safe. Those who run and who say, we're not down with this, we don't want to have anything to do with this movement that this guy's doing anymore, we thought he was the guy, he's not the guy, and they ran for the hills. And the Bible says he gave her two wings. You might put in your margin here by verse 14. It's Exodus 19:4. The Bible says, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Deuteronomy 32:11-12 also, it says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. Meaning Israel. And there was no strange God with him. This is what the goal is. God wants to get Israel done, not only with idols. That happened from the Babylonian captivity. They never really went back to idolatry. But he wants their heart. And he wants them to willingly offer it. And when they flee from the Antichrist, and when they get a word from Gentiles who are getting converted, and 144,000 coming up and saying, let me have a conversation with you. And these are Jews that they can talk to. And they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus. They're going to be so lit up about what's coming. They're going to be shocked, first of all, because that's what happens when you find out you were wrong all these years. But then they're going to be animated because the story ends really well. I mean, Armageddon, you know, it's pretty bad. Yeah, but wait a minute. Keep reading, okay? All those people are gathered into Armageddon, the best battlefield the world has on earth anywhere. It's this perfect battlefield that's been noted by all kinds of people who've come across the landscape of time. They're saying, man, that's the place right there. And God's going to gather all the armies of the nations to that place. And they're going to be standing there ready to fight each other at that moment. And Jesus will come and they're going to turn their guns and the enemy of my enemy is going to become my friend. And they're going to go right to the skies thinking we're going to have to fight now. These armies coming from heaven. And they're standing there with sword in hand. Their eye sockets are going to melt. Their eyes are going to melt in their eye sockets. Their tongues are going to melt in their mouth. That's Zechariah chapter 14. Read it. It's the most cool thing in the world. Jesus is going to step foot on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split. And all the Israelites who really believe, they're going to run right in there. And by the time all the dust settles, it's all going to be over. And they're going to say, oh, the Bible says it's going to be one day. One day. If you read the rest of the book of Revelation, you find out God's got a cleanup crew, and God's going to help them to understand who He really is, and He's going to have them on their side. Verse 15 says, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood." Remember the war of the water? Talked about the Euphrates, remember that? The Bible talked about those locusts coming out of the great abyss, and then it says He's going to remove those angels in the Euphrates, four angels. The four angels being like Israel's angel is Michael, and Prince of Persia was an angel over Persia, which was a demon, and Michael was fighting with them. And I believe that those four angels are the ones who are keeping a precarious peace over there in the Middle East, and that during the tribulation, God's going to remove those angels from keeping everybody at bay. He's going to remove His keeping them at bay, and they're going to fight. You've heard of Sunni and Shiite. These are two different factions, but you have all kinds of factions of Muslims. They're going to fight each other. And I believe part of the reason is they're going to turn the water off up top because the water's been turned wormwood. And they're going to say, "We're keeping what we got up here." And then they're going to go at it and they're going to kill each other. I think that's what that's telling us about one of the woes in chapter 9. But here's the thing. Water. They're running. It's like He opens the locks. He opens the dam and He says, "We'll get them." They're running down that waterway because it's dry. And suddenly He tries to get them. And the Bible says then He's going to send an earthquake. In verse 16, God's going to open the earth and swallow up the flood. I'm just telling you, there's some precision here. And I'm beginning to, you ever work with a pair of binoculars? I'm beginning to focus a little bit more clearly on some things that are making sense. And the Bible says that the earth opened and swallowed the flood and helped the woman, helped her get away. And the Bible says in verse 17, "And the dragon was very wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed," which, here it is, it's very important, "which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is Israelite people who keep the law of God and the testimony of Jesus. You say, "Well, that's a contradiction." It is not a contradiction. It is a completion. This is what a completed Jew is. They keep the law and the testimony of Jesus, because the Bible says in Romans 10:4, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." Think about that word. Christ is the end of the law. These people in Israel, they wanted to be keeping the law, dotting every I, crossing every T, walking only so many steps on the Sabbath. No, Jesus did it all. He perfectly kept it. And now that we trust Him, we're keeping the law by serving Him. He's the one who fulfilled it. He's the one we are in. He fulfilled every demand of the law. Not only did He walk the perfect walk, but being God, He also died and paid the penalty that was due. Somebody had to shed their blood, right? He kept all of it. And the Bible says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us righteousness." Jesus is made unto us right. He is our righteousness. It's not what you do. It's who He is. It's what He's done. It's how He died in our place, took our hell, took our punishment. And when we trust Him, we're just saying, "God, we couldn't do it ourselves." Poor in spirit. We mourn because we're such a mess. You'll be comforted. Meek, because we collect ourselves. Blessed are the meek. We collect ourselves. Okay, I get it. Now what? Bible says meek. Then it says peacemakers are in there. Why? Because once you get yourself gathered together, you begin to take your hand and put it on some friend of yours and put the other hand to Jesus, and you become the peacemaker. And the Bible says you're going to be persecuted. This is the Sermon on the Mount. It's in a nutshell what the Christian life looks like. And what He's saying here is He's saying that Jesus is our righteousness. And the Bible ultimately tells us, Romans 3:31. Do we make void the law of God because we're preaching grace? He says, "Nay, we establish the law." Okay? Because we're pointing to Jesus and saying, that is what God's heart is on those tables of stone. And that is what the law is when it's really lived out perfectly. And Jesus alone lived it out perfectly. I'm going with Him. Read the verse again in chapter 12, verse 17. It says, "The devil was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God." The word "keep" is the Greek word tereo. It doesn't mean they do them. It means they keep their eye on them all the time. It's always the plumb line of their life. So keeping it means guarding it. And the Bible says they keep the commandments. And the Bible says, "and have the testimony of Jesus." And that's what they do. They say, "I can't keep it. I believe it's God's heart. I believe it's the thing that makes me realize my sin. The law is good if it's used lawfully. It's for us, not against us. It's helping us see ourselves in the mirror of our sin. And it brings us to Jesus. People need the Lord. They need Him now. They need Him before the trumpet sounds for the end gathering and the rapture. They need to miss this mess that's on the horizon. If you have a loved one, you need to make it your business to spend time praying for them in a way you've never done before. I'm calling for you to fast for them. We talk about if my people. This country is not Israel. That verse was for Israel. You and I ought not be having to turn from our wicked ways, but if you have to. See, if we turn, if you say the church needs to turn from its wicked way, I'm telling you, the church is a very small portion of this country. There's a lot of things going on. This country is under the judgment of God because we have become more and more pagan. But we are not a theocracy. You are a person who actually has a responsibility to keep your lamp trimmed and your light burning brightly for yourself and your house. You are supposed to be keeping your accounts current with the Lord. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are a temple of God. What? Know ye not that you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Therefore, you are to glorify God in your mortal body. The verse about turning from our wicked way, the church, our wicked way would be more that we've let love go cold. We're not witnessing. We're not sharing. We're not willing to get out there and tell people about Jesus. We're trying to make nice. It's not about getting guns, folks. It's getting God to front and center in our hearts so that we can go serve Him right now. God is doing His mysterious work on the earth right now. He's bringing this world to sort of an awakening. But all they're waking up to, because the church is AWOL, is they're waking up to their patriotism, their conservatism. They're not waking up to Jesus. They have no use for holiness. And we have to be the examples of what it looks like to be the people of God. If you think Peter, James, and John would be very comfortable with you where you are in your spiritual life, then you're on the right track. Even if it's just that you don't know much, but you're willing to be taught, but you keep yourself in the love of God and in the fear of God and in the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, this is it. This is our mandate. We are boots on the ground in real time. This biblical time is right now happening all around you. It's not time to be playing church anymore. We have to be the church. We have to be the church. None of us is perfect, but we have a new day every day. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. It's amazing how He is. He's willing to forgive you right now for everything that's kind of accrued on your account. Just tell Him, Lord, forgive me. I've been flirting with this thing. I've been playing games with this thing. I've been acting like it's not real, but I'm seeing things happen that I cannot deny anymore. Can I tell you, He will forgive you? The Bible says if you confess your sins right there, right now, in the quietness of these moments, He hears you. God, I'm sorry. And you look Him in the eye as you say it, because this general thing, forgive my sins, is not what He's after. He wants you to go to the bone right now. Here I am, Lord. I want to be your woman. I want to be your man. Because those are two different things right now, aren't they? We know that by our science, but we should know it as our spiritual reality too. And you have influence. And you have people that you love. Ask Him to help you pay the price to get to them, to witness to them, to be winsome, and have the rapport to be able to speak into their lives. Maybe fast and pray over it once a week or something, where you say, God, I'm praying for him, fasting, and in 4 weeks I'm going to go over and try to talk to him. Do what you got to do. We are on a rescue mission. If you're not saved, you need to be. Run to Jesus. Don't wait. He will take you if you call on Him. The Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just told you how that works. He's our righteousness. We trust Him. We keep our eye on the law. We know He wants us not to sin. That's in the law. But He gave us Jesus because we couldn't keep it. Call on Him. Ask Him, Jesus, save me. Save me, please. I'm sorry.
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.